Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com. The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Welcome to the Elk Shape Podcast Season 6 with your host, Dan the Fitness Man. Thank you for tuning in. We are excited to have you. This is the podcast that is dedicated to hard work, disciplined decisions, and year-round training in the pursuit of the best possible version of ourselves. We leverage elk hunting to create a pathway. We understand that time is finite and we cannot squander a second. We must be leaders at our home. We understand that faith is our number one priority, then family, then fitness, then health, then wealth. Our year-round disciplined decisions help us leave a legacy for our family to follow. You will leave here motivated, inspired, and educated. We bring on a wide variety of guests, subject matter experts, so that you can tune in, get what you need to get, and continue on your journey. We are blessed to call ourselves Elk Hunters, Season 6. Here we go. Welcome to the Elk Shape Podcast with me, Dan the Fitness Man. How y'all doing? Let's talk about July. Let's talk about elk season round the corner. We've done a podcast like this many times, and we get the feedback that keep doing them. So that's what we're going to do. We listen to the people. We give the people what they want. Kramer, out of Ellensburg, Washington, total stranger, reached out to me after he watched two episodes on the Elk Shape YouTube channel of The Ultimate Guide to Rookie Elk Hunters. We did a total bow fit with a kid, and then we also took a kid in the backcountry. It turned out to be some really epic footage, but we did lose that kid as a participant, so we moved on and put the offer out there. Who would like to come over, do kind of like an elk consult? We'll film it for YouTube, as well as we'll make a kind of a sweet little podcast. So this is the podcast version. There will be a YouTube version, and there'll be more behind the scenes with that. But we brought Kramer along because he is not brand new to elk hunting, but he's got a couple of years under his belt with, in his words, unsuccessful. And I do challenge him on that because it is a learning curve, and I want all of you to learn that elk hunting is a journey, not a destination. And I used to hate when people would say stuff like that, but it is the truth. It is the reality. 5 to 10% people are going to punch their tags and the rest of us are not. How do you get yourself in the 10%? You find good mentorship, and which is what we're trying to showcase today. We arm Kramer with some great information on elk tactics, his gear selection, his camouflage, first aid, and how to kill these elk, specifically where he's hunting, which is more open country elk. I hope you guys dig the podcast. Also, want to let y'all know, Kufaru, Multicam, and Coyote are all 30% off on the Elk Shape website all July. So load up on your pull-up bags, your hoodlums, whatever you need so that you can get ready and test and vet your gear and be ready to go, because 2023 elk season's around the corner. Here we go. Elk Shape Podcast in the studio. No, we're not. We're in the gym.
In the gym.
Kramer, welcome to Spokompton. You're from Ellensburg.
Ellensburg.
Get this as close to you as you
not
can.
Not originally, but we live there now.
Where are you from originally? Oregon?
I grew up in Everett. Wife's from Oregon, but...
You just like Oregon, you like Washington, you like communism.
Yeah. Yeah, Idaho's calling my name.
All right. So, guys, he hasn't podcasted much. You see how close I am to this mic? I want you to speak that sexiness. You're a DJ on the radio.
Here we are.
There you go. All right. So we invited Kramer to come over today. You're taking the place of a guy that I was filming a series with on Ultimate Guide to Rookie Elk Hunting. And I was like, he quit. And I was like, hey, does anyone want to reach out and take his spot? And I think people interpreted that into, oh, Dan's going to take me elk hunting. And I just want everyone to know, hell no, I ain't taking you elk hunting. I am selfish when it comes to elk hunting.
Fair enough.
But I will help anybody and everybody up to elk season. So we did have a lot of people reach out. But to your credit, you were close, 3 hours away. You were first in line. And you were like, just say when. So that's you. But you did beat out about 30-something people that wanted to. And I'm still getting messages. So, guys, cool. Yay, good job. But I don't think I have any more time to do any more of these for this summer. But this is a cool series that we're going to pick back up. And maybe we can check back in with you.
Totally.
After our little consult today. Yeah, so yeah. I didn't really have an agenda today. Like, I was just going to kind of like, well, let's see what we're working with.
Yeah, fair.
How many elk seasons do you have?
Under my belt? 2. Unsuccessful.
But were they successful?
I learned a lot.
What is successful?
Ooh, I mean, elk in the freezer is successful, but I learned a lot. I guess they wouldn't be a complete fail. I enjoyed just being out there, being walking around. So I feel like if you learn something, it's not necessarily failure. I'm taking all that experience with me, that's for sure.
But are you better off now that you've done 2 years in a row and know, like, can you identify some mistakes you've made that you will not make anymore? Let's ask you that.
Yeah, 100%.
Give us 3. Like, shoot from the hip. What are 3 dumbass things you've done that you won't do anymore? Although I will tell you, I still make some pretty same, like, I do a lot of repeat mistakes.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need a little refresher course and the elk are really good at doing that.
Yeah, fair enough.
But yeah, give us an idea.
Wind checker. Out there, no wind checker.
Dad.
Which probably seems wild.
His dad's over there. I'm just looking at his dad.
Any hunter. What? Yeah, yeah.
Did you leave it in the truck or you just didn't have them?
Just didn't have it. Just, shooting from the hip,
I guess. That's a good one.
Say.
What else you got?
That's a good one or a bad one, however you look at it.
Any gear failure? You're like, I'm going to wear cotton clothing from top to bottom. Anything like that? Or
No gear failure. Like, no cold or anything like that we encountered. I would say, like, pack wise. Like, no bino harness. I feel like that whole world has been open to me.
Good.
Now it seems like crazy to not, but I'm just like binos over the neck.
That's
just
cool. I used to do that.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't really care, I'll be honest, but I feel like bino harness, just everything up in front, everything right there, wind checker in there.
Hey, did you see that story I posted on my Instagram a couple days ago of this? It was a spoof of a guy doing hey, check out my bino harness. I don't know if you see that
video.
I didn't see it. I don't know if it's still on my phone. Did you see it, Tyler?
Oh, yeah.
That is literally the best one I've ever seen. Oh, you did. It's guy's essentially like a backpack as his bino harness.
And he's like,
with his buddies, like, check out that bull right there. And he's getting like, pulling out a coffee pot.
Getting through all
the kitchen sink stuff just to get to his. But that's my buddy Jake Webb. Like, he's got so much bushcraft going on in his bino harness. And I'm not. I'm like, binos. Extra release, range finder.
Yeah, that's how I'd be. Like, I don't want lunch and dinner in there or anything. I just want, like, the essentials.
But you said that, you had some questions that you wanted to kind of get off your chest. I want to tackle those, but first, I want the audience to get to know a little bit about Kramer. How old are you? What do you do for work? Are you married? Do you have kids? What's some of your guiding principles in life? That kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm 30 years old, 30 in April. Married, coming up on 6 years. We have 2 kids, one in the oven.
Time out. When's that one due?
That'll be in February.
Good man. Knuckles.
That's what we want.
Well done.
Yeah. We want to keep the quiver full. Guiding principles. Integrity's high on our list. I'm a contractor, and one of the reasons I am a contractor is because there's a lot of people who have a disdain or just a general distrust of contractors. So initially how I got into it was just kind of rewrite the script. And I found a lot of success in it and continue to find a lot of success in it and just come at people with clarity. I could talk about our business all day long. Just clarity and integrity. People love it. Surprise.
What is the name of your business?
Surprise. It's called Ruach Construction.
And you're out of Ellensburg, Washington?
Yep, we're out of Ellensburg, Washington.
What's your jam? What's your specialty? New construction?
Residential, home remodel, we love.
You remodels.
Residential, you know, we love ADUs. We've built tiny homes, any of that stuff. So we're still a one-man band. you know, contracting out stuff like this. So we keep it small, but yeah, that's kind of our bread and butter. That's and then, awesome. Like I said, just communication. Always tell clients, no surprise bills from me. Mm. Everything's just on the table in front. Again, surprise, people love that. They don't like getting slapped with major bills that they don't know about. So at any rate, that's where we found our success and just rewriting the script, trying to be good people.
Yeah.
Not a complicated formula.
So here's my formula for you today. First thing we did, I had all these great intentions until I basically like ruined your bow. We did. He brings his bow, and I'm like, man, let's just, before we get too carried away, like, let's just check your tune. Let's just shoot through paper. Holy shit, that's a terrible tear. This bow must be out of time.
Yeah.
Put it in the time. It was kind of out of time, and I just was like, I'm yanking the cable out. So we yanked the cable out. He's got a cable-driven rest, and I don't hate on those at all. In fact, I would say QAD makes a really good bulletproof one. I have one on one of my bows, and it's awesome. And they make a specific one, but you had a trophy taker one. And there's two types of trophy taker. Trophy takers that were made when Dan Evans hadn't sold that company.
Okay.
And then I won't say the rest because I don't want to get in trouble. But
yeah.
And then there's other ones. I think you have one of those other ones.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? Okay. You feel me? But that's all I used to run was trophy taker.
Okay.
So anyway, shout out to Dan Evans. Get back in the game, buddy, if you know what I mean. So I wanted you to get a new rest, and I don't have a QAD laying around for Hoyt, obviously, but I did have a Hamsky Trinity. I just pulled off a bow and said, here, and we slapped it on. Here's how it works. I think you get the premise now.
Yeah.
And you're going to go down to Spokane Valley Arch and we're done here and ask for Josh or Justin. They're going to make sure your center shot is on. Mm. I think it's very close. I would like them to tie in a new D loop on a new set of strings because you don't have a backup bow.
No backup bow.
And I found that out immediately, and I was like, okay, I don't know if you're going to buy a new bow right now. Probably not.
Probably not.
So for this year, let's set you up a repair kit in case shit hits the fan when you're elk hunting. I think I said middle finger to Murphy, as in Murphy's Law.
Yeah.
And he's gotten us all.
So
what are some of the things we started talking about for your emergency bow kit? What are we looking at?
We got extra rest now. Extra sight now.
Yeah, did I give you?
Man, you're asking the wrong gear guy.
4-pin, black gold, pro sight with third axis.
That's
smaller housing. Mm-hmm. I don't think you need that big a housing that you have. You don't even have third axis on your bow.
Yeah.
I want you to know about that. So that's going to be homework.
Don't know anything about it.
You're going to get schooled up on that today with MFJJ. Okay?
Cool. Yeah, even like the housing shrinking, I don't know anything about the different sizes. I mean, I don't know why. I don't know why you'd go bigger. I don't know why you'd go smaller.
That stuff's nuanced. But I just want you to be able to have the adjustability of first, second, third axis.
Yeah, that's cool.
And I, as an elk hunter out west, non-negotiate. We looked at your arrow selection.
Yeah, we looked at the arrows, which I kind of plan to switch over to the Rampage just simply because they're cheaper. I just went in and was like, hey, is there a cheaper arrow than these $25 FMJs?
That bend?
Yeah. So I probably will switch, which new site, switching stuff up would be a good time.
It's a good time. You're early enough. And also, you forgot to mention I'm making you buy new strings.
Well, yeah, new strings.
You're running factories.
They're
a year old. They're actually in great shape, by the way.
They're a year old.
They're in great shape and broken in, so you're going to replace those.
That'll go in the kit.
That's going to go in your replacement kit, your repair kit. So you have these backup strings, paper clipped, ready to go in case something bad happens.
Yeah, yeah.
You have an extra spring for your Hamsky,
right.
An extra attachment. You need to get some O-rings from Josh today.
That's right.
And then realistically, you'll have a new D-loop today, a new string.
Maybe
everything
some
will settle.
Material.
Definitely some D-loop material. We've done videos in the past on the channel. Look, search them, watch them.
Yeah.
And build your repair kit. And then for the rest of y'all, don't sell that bow when you go to buy a new one. You don't sell that bow. Yeah, it's nice to have $500 to $800 to go towards this new purchase, but I need you to eat it and have a backup bow.
So
don't sell that bow when you go to upgrade.
Yeah.
Just keep it. All right.
Probably extra release too. Throw that in there.
Two is one, sir.
That's what I was going to say. I feel like I hear you say that quite a bit.
Now, I don't have Joel Turner here today, but he would destroy you, just so you know.
That's fair.
Okay.
That's fair. I'm into it. Need to get destroyed to learn a few things.
He's destroyed us all.
Good.
But he's a great dude. Like, yeah. He's got a good heart. He's got a new release. It's made by Stan.
Okay.
And it's got a click in it, and it's a thumb button. So
okay. I've never used a thumb button.
It clicks, and then it breaks. So the click tells you, it's a good, like, mechanoreceptor to tell you, like, here I go. I'm not going to get into the weeds with that.
Fair.
But
interesting.
You should look at the release that you do have that you train with. It's called the Silverback from, shout out to John Dudley. It's a good thing to start with, but I certainly don't think it would be a good solution at this point in your career.
Yeah.
I think I would keep it for maybe some blank bailing in the winter. Excuse me, but I would like to see you maybe get into even the release you have,
yeah,
just using it properly.
That could be my, we didn't say it, but that could be my third mistake. I hunted with the Silverback.
You did.
Throw that on the list.
And I don't think it's a mistake, man. I think guys can do it, but I
heard people do it. I was like, sweet, I'm used to it.
Dudley would tell you it's totally doable. And I mean, I'm not going to disagree. You know, different strokes, different folks.
Yeah.
But I watched a guy, Tyler would back me up, like the firefighter guy in Canada shot a bear. But he was at full draw 3 or 4 different times with the safety off, and the bear wouldn't hold still.
Mm.
And you can't make that thing go off when you want it, right?
Right, right.
And 3 times he had to let down. And finally, when he did get it, the bear to hold still, he kept pulling, and it finally broke. But the bear already took a step, and he hit it back.
Oh, really?
And it was a rodeo. He did get it.
Oh,
we'll leave out the details, but it was a rodeo. So it's tough.
Yeah.
I wouldn't hunt with it, personally.
Yeah, I think that's what I've learned.
But I would train with it.
I think that's my takeaway. Like, I started blank bailing. I literally started with the J-Dud videos. I mean, just...
I think they're awesome.
Yeah.
And John's good for the community. But, you know, there's just different opinions out there.
Yeah.
And you got to figure out which resource you trust, which ultimately it's you. What works for you?
Yeah.
Kramer.
That's been the spot hog lately for
me.
It's like, I just like it. I don't know why.
Maybe you do pick up an extra spot hog today.
Yeah.
If Josh has any in stock. And then what I do with my extra release is I have a special spot in my backpack, my elk backpack,
okay,
where I put it, I zip it, and I hope I never see it.
Yeah.
But I know it's there.
Fair.
Last year,
fair,
I visited my backup release. I finally set one down on the ground, and I don't know where. Somewhere in Idaho.
There it is.
It's still there.
Somebody's got it.
So 2 is 1.
Yeah.
Broadheads, gear. Where's your little...
I got... Yeah, here we are. I can...
Bring your stuff on over.
I guess we can bust up broadheads for now. I do have... It's not an on-the-go... kit, but this is like the archery box.
Ooh, I like it. And it's labeled archery supply in a tackle box. Don't mind if...
So these were free.
Ooh, so QAD.
Well, that's the brand.
They also make broadheads, yes, and they make a good rest.
Yeah, there we go.
So
I bought these because last year I had a 4 mil arrow, and they had a...
Deep six. Are these deep six?
Those are not deep six. I have the deep six in here for the 4 mils.
Okay.
And they just sent the wrong one, and I got to keep it, I guess.
Nice.
So,
thanks,
sweet.
QAB.
So there's those. I couldn't get those to fit the FMJs properly. I don't know why. Somebody knows why. They wouldn't go in.
You probably screwed up on the hit insert. Did you do the hit inserts yourself?
I did.
Yeah, you probably met.
There we go.
So, and there's a way to do those. Long story short, when you do hit inserts and you have the little tool,
yeah.
Pull the knock out of the back, put it in, turn it.
Is it air?
Pull out, let it dry like that. Don't tip it up. I mean,
I for sure did it wrong.
These are all the things I've made mistakes on.
Anyways,
highly approve.
Sweet.
If these fly good for you and your bow's tuned, these are highly approved. What else you got?
These, I'll be fully honest with you, these just look cool. I have no reason.
Yeah.
As to why. I thought it's rather it's a 2-blade. Like I said, that's all I got for you on that.
I would be interested to see how these Magna Stingers, these have been out forever, right?
Have they?
Yeah. And they're Magna Stinger broadheads, and they're sharp, right? And they're...
Like, they make a 4-blade. Like I said, I just was like, man, 2-blade is kind of like legendary looking.
Either my hair is really... Okay. These are not sharp. I can't cut the hair.
Well, there we go. Take them back.
Shit. Just touch them up, man. But,
touch them up, yeah.
I like the long, like 3-to-1 type thing, and I know these would penetrate, and they're vented. They probably fly good. They don't have bleeders. They don't have bleeder blades. And so it's going to, like, when you actually sharpen these really sharp, they're going to leave such a clean hole on an elk, and an elk's got the most magnificent hide you've ever seen that I don't think you'd find a lot of blood on the ground. Now, I'll get a bunch of emails from all these guys telling me that I'm wrong and how they have, but I'm just telling you that these are going to be a really clean cut, right?
Yeah.
Like, you ever cut yourself and you're, like, looking to see if you're bleeding and you're not sure?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that's what these are like. Like, they're just going to, like, the animal almost won't even know that they're shot. It's just going to slice, go through. It's not going to really, like, create this giant opening for blood to leave the container. So definitely sharpen these up. But, I mean, if I had to choose, you tell me what kind of entry exit hole. You're going to get a triangle hole with these, entry and exit, whereas this one is going to penetrate better. No doubt, right?
No doubt.
But could be. That's why I like the iron wheels. I'm kind of iron wheeled out today.
Oh, there we go.
But even with iron wheels, I haven't had. I've had some bulls that didn't hardly bleed. Now they died within sight, so I can't complain.
Is that a two blade?
It's a two. It's a cut on contact, but they have bleeders.
Oh, okay.
And there's a single bevel, whereas this is a double bevel.
Oh.
But this looks like, honestly, this looks really badass.
Yeah, I
just
kind
of wish it had bleeders.
They make a version with.
And like, do you know how to sharpen?
Little bleeders.
Do you have a sharpening kit?
I don't have a sharpening kit.
This would need it.
That's fair.
Let me just check one more in case maybe I just grabbed a.
Maybe, yeah, I don't know.
You haven't shot these before, right?
I haven't shot those yet. And I actually haven't got to shoot these on a 5mm arrow yet. Just shot the 4mm last year.
Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized, and with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com, that's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
These need to be sharpened, bro.
Snow. That's my Snow Havilon.
Yeah, I don't know. So, I like the QADs. I also like Grim Reaper Micro Hades the Hades Pro. Ooh, I mean, I always tell people when they ask me officially, I'm just like, here's the deal. I like, if you're on a budget, get the Made in America Grim Reapers. And I think that QADs fall under that category. For budget broadheads that are proven. These are proven. Yeah. Or if you're not on a budget, go get the Iron Wheels. Specifically, I like the single bevels.
Okay.
Because it's single beveled, it's
tearing up.
Oh, it's insane. It's like running one of your drill motors.
Yeah.
Through the flesh. Okay, next question.
Boom, there we are. More gear. Like I said a little bit earlier, so camo is a question for me. I got to send this back because I'm a little huskier than I thought, but.
What are these? You ordered mediums?
No, larges.
In Sitka and they don't fit?
No, I don't know. Anyway. Larges, sausaged in there, got to send them back. But anyway, I went with an open country camo. That's what they called it.
Yeah.
I thought there'd be a few more greens in there. There's a little bit of green. Anyway, I got a ton of questions. You get into the world of camo, I feel like there's so many different patterns.
Yeah.
Seems like there's a ton of companies.
Yeah.
What do you do? I know it's like based on where you hunt. I know some of that.
Okay, so I think that's a thing that let me see this. I think you're majoring in the minors. I think you need to pay more attention about being sneaky, using the terrain, and taking advantage of opportunities when the elk are their guards down.
Okay.
I don't get wrapped up into camo. In fact, I'm actually doing Born Primitive this year. They don't even make a camouflage.
Cool.
Okay. Optifade.
It's kind of what I want to hear.
Subalpine. I like subalpine way better than Optifade if you're looking at Sitka gear.
Okay.
And I'm going to have Tyler in a moment come over because he's got a whole expose as to what animals see and don't see and, you know, which cones are in their eyes and which colors do well and ultraviolet, like all that stuff does matter. Yeah. So I'm going to have, Tyler, you're going to be a guest today. Hopefully you remember all that. But I'm going to tell you, if I had to pick a pattern from Sitka, it'd be the subalpine.
Okay.
100%.
Okay, so it's good to know.
But yeah, these are fine. You can still kill stuff in them. What else you got? So Tyler, at some point when you're ready, you're going to take my spot and drop knowledge bombs.
We got that. This is just water pack to go under normal pack. Granted,
does your pack not have a bladder holder for this?
It doesn't. It doesn't. And I'll say this. I need to explain this. At least hunting in that spot, you know, that we've hunted before, I'm not packing in this giant backpack.
Okay.
I'm walking in the...
You're light.
I'm light. Okay. I'm light. Like, bino harness and, like, fanny pack style, and I'm good.
Really?
Because I'm just walking in every day.
Okay.
I'm just walking in every day.
There's no spike camp. There's no bivouacking. It's all from the truck.
No. I will say, in those first two rookie videos, I think what you called bivouacking.
Yeah.
Is that where you place a backpack? Is that that one?
That's spike.
That's spike.
You like dedicate, like we're going to spike out here. Bivy is like, it's dark. All my shit's on my back. I'll sleep here tonight.
Okay, I got you. The spiking then, I'm interested in that because at least this spot would make a lot of sense. Because
you're shaving unnecessary mileage.
Exactly.
Day.
Well, and especially if like, if it takes me the whole month, I'm going to be gassed. So if I can shave any of that time, grab any of that rest, whatever. That's valuable.
I think you should have a spike camp
that's,
for sure.
That's valuable. So at any rate, that kind of leads to the next backpack. This is nothing special. I mean, this is just your hiker. This has done well for me. This is just an impulse buy 10 years ago, barely used. Probably everybody would say like all the straps are crazy and whatever.
You got a place for a bladder.
Is there a place for a bladder?
Yep.
Boom.
We will. So Tyler is my gear guy. I'm moving out of that space. He's going to take my spot and talk to you about clothing and this backpack. But Tyler and I are huge fans of like, if you're on a budget, you don't have to buy hunting specific backpack.
Yeah.
You can buy whatever backpacking. So this could be a great option for you.
I mean, it's like grandpa was knocking.
Keep that over here. I think Tyler, we'll have Tyler audit it in a second. What else you got?
Grandpa's knocking him dead with the aluminum frame. So all
good. Exactly.
All good there. Just throw this in the pack. Obviously.
It's pretty hot.
Rain jacket. I mean, this is bright blue. Tyler would probably say something about this, but just rain jacket. It's the only one I own.
It's really heavy, though.
It's very heavy. Not a lot of rain out there, but when you get rain,
and honestly,
you know.
For a rain jacket, this just does. I don't believe this to be fully rainproof, waterproof.
It's probably not. Yeah,
I don't like this. I want you to don't be a cheapskate. Spend the loot on good rain gear. Buy once, cry once, and just start with a good top that you can, that is way lighter than this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And packable and actually prevents you from getting wet. Which, like, I was just at TAC when we shot, I wore some rain jacket thing and I got completely soaked to the bone, and so did my cameraman. It's summer. Like, we came down off the mountain at the base, and like, I'm talking to people and I'm shivering and it's 70 degrees. It's because water steals heat away from your body.
Totally.
So I dislike that, and I feel like that's a must for you.
Yeah.
No, okay.
You'd think I'd have more where I grew up, but again, nothing special here.
Headlamp?
This is a headlamp.
How many are in your pack?
One.
Amateur.
Amateur. Come on.
Two is one. And I want batteries for both. Fresh.
Batteries for both.
And some backup. And if you're really like Tyler, you probably have an extra bulb. Like Tyler's the always, like when you forget something, you ask Tyler, hey, can I borrow this? Because I know you have an extra.
Yeah.
That's Tyler.
I want to, a little note is extra battery for the range finder. I noticed that.
I just purchased six.
Putting it together.
It's a CR123, I believe, for most range finders. I just bought six of them. I keep one in my bino harness. I keep one in my tote at camp. I keep one in my backpack. Like, I'm paranoid about not being able to have a rangefinder, so.
Just.
Med kit. Okay, we will save that. Tyler, you're a star on this podcast. Tyler, he's a paramedic.
Med kit.
We'll have him audit that.
This is just your long johns.
Layers, nothing, synthetics.
Nothing special.
Good,
there.
I like.
Yeah, in the process of getting all the camo, so I know we kind of touched on that, but figuring the camo thing out.
Find yourself a good mountain pant. Like, honestly, I don't change clothes very often. Like, I've been known to wear the same pant an entire hunt. I've been known to change underwear a couple days and socks a couple days. That's it on a backpack hunt.
Yeah.
But I find a good pant, I'm not changing pants. I like a reinforced knee, reinforced butt that articulates. Okay, so but the Born Primitive stuff, I think you should check out. Obviously, I think it's really well priced, and I can hook you up with a discount. But the Sitka stuff, they have the Mountain Pant, I believe it's, or the Ascent. Those are all good options. You just got to find a good pant that's going to last and not get torn apart.
How do you feel about knee pads?
I personally love them.
Okay.
Because where you're hunting, I would be crawling, stalking,
totally.
Not vocalizing.
Yeah.
Not giving away my location.
Yeah.
Which we're going to get into tactics in a second. Any other gear you want to touch in on?
The only other thing is probably just
trekking poles or life.
Poles.
Which ones are these?
Costco Special.
Dude, Tyler has these and he gives them high remarks.
Cool.
And
Costco.
We have we're doing a trekking test out right now.
Oh, sweet.
And Tyler, are you testing these too or kind of already tested them?
I
sent Josh Crawford. He's in Glacier right now. He's testing out two of the Black Diamonds. Mm. I've been testing the Sissy Sticks. Just find a pair that you can't break. That's really it.
Yeah, I've been trying to put them to the test out with the backpack, weighted.
Here we go.
Boyle, I'll be honest, I probably wouldn't care about this if I wasn't coming to show you. But I bought this.
Okay, what is it?
This is just a quick jet boil.
I don't think this is jet boil, though. This is like a different brand or whatever.
Yeah, different brand.
Camp Chef makes one. It's a little heavier, a little bulkier.
Yeah, it's bigger. I noticed that, too.
Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe you know something we don't know. You have not used this ever.
Not used that ever.
This is brand new.
Like I said, that would be like a luxury for me. I don't actually really
This would be
care.
Good for Tyler, since he drinks so much coffee. He could actually pour quite a bit into his cup. But like Tyler don't leave a mountain or leave his truck without this kind of system.
With
like
him.
Every style of hunt. Because he's addicted to coffee.
Well, cool.
And I respect that. I think that's gangster. So this is good. If you wanted to save weight over time, you might want to upgrade to the Jetboil Flash. Or something like it. Or an MSR option. This is just a little big, but this will work.
Like I said, that's kind of like a luxury in my mind.
Leave it at Spike Camp.
Yeah.
Then you're not lugging it around. What are you going to do for a shelter at the Spike Camp?
If we were just doing a Spike Camp, I'd be tenting it.
You got a tent picked out?
We got a tent.
Sierra Design.
My wife did the PCT with this puppy, so.
Badass.
Tried and true. This is just a bag sleeper.
What's the degree on it?
Also was on the PCT.
Is this a 0, a 10, a 20? It's probably a 20.
Yeah, I don't know.
You should know that.
I should know that.
You'll have to figure that out.
Note taken. These, I don't know.
Yeah, garbage. Get some good synthetic game bags.
So that's a good question that I have. You like those are reusable? I presume. There we go. Booyah. That's a good question answered. Wind checker. That's what we got there.
I need like 8 of these.
8 of these.
Yep.
I think I'd prefer Nuancy the round bottle.
Yeah. This big. I do like smoking the bottle.
Than that big. This is to charge the phone.
Does it have
nothing crazy?
Oh,
there.
Nice. Does it actually recharge? Have you tested how many charges you can get out of it?
I've never tested how many. I know it works, but I never tested.
I think
how
you're going to want an additional, like a Goal Zero, to plug into this. Because if you are spiking out for 7 days, you need comms. What's your other option for communications besides your phone?
None. Nothing.
You have two kids, or you have one on the way?
I have three, yeah.
Yeah, you don't get to not have an inReach at that point. Too many people count on you.
Fair enough.
You know what I mean?
Fair.
So that, pull the trigger on that, and you can get, you got to pay a fee. Like Zoleo's a good one. inReach is a good one. You pay like a fee, 30, 40 bucks, and then you can just go monthly.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can just deactivate it for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Sweet. That was kind of a note. Like on the hunt, I used Onyx for those elk hunts. And I just did the free 1 week trial. Kind of did it that way. Then I learned the boundaries at that point. So be using that. So
I would be on Onyx every day, all day.
Phone with me.
Like I don't memorize boundaries and I don't do things in the gray because you do not want to get in trouble.
Yeah, and I don't want to get in trouble.
Is it Oregon you're hunting or Washington, let's say? Are you hunting Oregon?
Potentially both, but.
Okay, so get the elite membership so you can run both.
Okay.
And download your maps ahead of time and start using Onyx to e-scout from your desktop. Because you can really tilt it and do 3D and do good things. You need to have a membership to that.
Fair enough.
Enter in Elk Shape. It saves you, I think it's 99 bucks. So it'll be 80 or 79 bucks. Get that. Try it out this year. If you don't like it, cancel it. But I literally live and die off Onyx.
Yeah.
Like I'm more worried about having backup chargers because I'm running tracking all day. I'm literally documenting where the elk travel, their elk corridors. I'm constantly referring to the terrain, trying to find little benches and parks and micro meadows, places to potentially get water, and all the intel that I've marked up in the off season is on my Onyx. Get your Onyx done today. Like
there
that is
go.
A must. Okay.
There we go. So that's basically it there. I learned this from the first two videos, though I would carry the earplugs anyway for sleeping, but eye cover.
100%.
That's one note. I've just been doing that in my normal life recently. If this could come with me in some capacity.
Maybe, at the truck, yeah.
Maybe broken down in some way. There's the extra release. This will probably go in my bino harness. This is just
I think that would be good.
Couple extra blades here.
Look at you. Guys, he's got like a portable little tackle box. And so I want you to add some of the repair kit stuff that you learned today. Dad, you're going to film some of that, right? And you're going to get that to me for our video.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get to meet Josh and Justin. Let's move on to elk tactics because this is the Elk Shape podcast. And then I'm going to have you finish with Tyler doing a quick consult on some of your decisions. So, Tyler, I hope you don't mind. So what kind of elk hunting specific questions? I think one of the things we talked about earlier that I kind of got excited was he's like, I think I want a solo elk hunt. And I'm like, absolutely. If you have the personality for it, you're going to, I think you have higher odds of killing in a lot of instances.
Yeah. That's what I like. Yeah.
So going solo sucks when you kill one, then you got to pack it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Solo hunting is harder and lonelier. So you got to understand if you're okay with being by yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
For me, it's awesome.
Like, yeah, no problem there for me.
I love it. Okay. It is, if you're going to play the vocalization game, which I got to shoot you straight. Everything you've described about your hunt in that one state just sounds like a pure spot and stalk, ambush, interception, leave all your calls in the truck. That's what it sounded like to me.
That'd be sweet to me because I don't know how to use any of those.
Okay. And then the guys that are like mad because they're really good at calling and they're like, no, you should, I can call in any bull. No, you can't. Not on public land.
Yeah.
There are some bulls that are just, they're just going to 180 or the lead cow is going to 180 when they hear a synthetic sound or any sound. But I think you should know how to do both.
Yeah.
I think
it'd
be a mistake not to be able to.
I want to learn. I try to like look into it.
So you don't even own a bugle tube?
I don't even own a bugle tube. I was like trying to research and learn about them.
Maybe I'll give you an extra bugle tube today.
I don't know what to say. I simply just don't know anything about it.
Phelps makes the smaller one. It's really packable. That I would at least have for doing location bugles. Like maybe it's 11 p.m. and you're at your spike camp and you're like, man, son of a gun. Dan told me to do this. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And you're going to go night bugling at 11 p.m. So after dinner, when you're tired, you make some coffee and you go on a walkabout. And I promise you, like, you're going to get that sleep made up at some point.
Yeah.
It just might not be in September. And you're going to go on a walkabout from 11 to 3 a.m. And you're just going to stay on top of ridges and you're going to go night bugling. And you're going to just drop a pin. And every bull that you get to answer is $100 you're going to send me. No, not really. I'm joking. But like, it feels like that to me. Like when a bull bugles to me at night in the dark, I feel like I just got a $100 bill. Mark it, put it away, and I'm trying to stack cash. I'm trying to get several bulls located. That's kind of what I call it. So I want you to try that.
That'd be like the benefit of spike camp, right?
Yes.
It's like you're out there.
You're already out there. Yeah. What's another 3 mile loop in the dark when it's cool? You can walk at a slow pace and you can locate elk. And sometimes you don't even have to locate. Like they're already doing elk things and you're just observing. You're just listening. You're getting to know the vibe. You kind of understand, okay, that's the herd bull for sure. That's a potential satellite that wants some, and that's a squeaky little satellite who don't know what's going on. Okay, that's good.
Yeah, I
like having multiple bulls discussing the options of these cows in their own way, you know?
Yeah.
So night bugling's a thing. Spike camping's a thing.
Yeah.
Being by yourself is a thing. And then start dissecting how the elk use the terrain. You're going back to the same spot, which is nice. Like, as you learn the country, each year you go back, you're putting more pieces of this puzzle together, right?
Right, right.
And now you're just missing a few pieces. If you can start figuring out how they use the terrain and their tendencies of where do they like to get water, what time do they head for bed, what does the prevailing wind do here in the morning, in the middle of the day, and in the evening, what prevailing, not thermal.
Yeah, yeah.
What happens to the prevailing when the thermals compete? Where do hunters like to come in and screw everything up for everybody? Like going back to the same spot year for year is an advantage for sure.
Yeah.
As long as the elk are still there.
Right, right.
But if you think you have a honey hole all to yourself that no one's found out, bro, you can thank Mark Livesay and his amazing e-scouting course. Everyone knows everything, so you have to pivot.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that make sense?
For sure. Yeah.
Okay. What other questions you got?
As far as elk hunting. I guess scent would be a question. I know like we talked about wind some.
This is awesome.
I guess it's always been like a funny, like, are you really spraying yourself with all those products and whatever else, wearing deodorant that's made by some hunting company?
It's good.
I don't really want to buy all that stuff.
Yeah.
I'll be fully honest. I don't. Anyway.
Do you really think an elk's not going to smell you because you sprayed down with elk piss?
I mean, I think he's going to smell you.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Their olfactory and receptor sites are undeniable. They make a living. Okay?
For
sure. And you're a guest, right? Like, honestly, the mountains are not our home.
Right,
We like to think that the mountains are our home.
Yeah.
And we lie to ourselves. We are purely just a guest, and we're running on borrowed time. So I don't think you should concern yourself with showering unless it's super convenient. It could help for sure.
Yeah.
I think wearing scent masking things could help for sure, but I honestly don't worry about it. Deodorant, I'd try to do that just so I don't have to smell myself.
Yeah.
It's usually a scent like a Tom's type deodorant that's like a natural. And those natural deodorants don't even work that good anyways, right? Like
in
general. But no, I don't buy elk piss in a bottle. I don't spray any of that.
Sweet.
None of that. I'm not whitetail hunting.
Yeah.
In fact, if you're sneaking around on elk and not making a lot of noise, you're suspicious. You're sus, as the kids would say. I just found out what that means. You're sus.
I'm a little late to all that too.
Yeah. So they will suspect that you are a predator. If you're sneaking, because mountain lions sneak, bears sneak, wolves sneak. Humans sneak too much when they're elk hunting. Man, walk, break sticks, whatever. The only time I'm really, truly sneaking is like if I am vocalizing with an elk and I need to get to the hang up spot without breaking a branch, because they will hear that.
Right.
I will make a sound, make that last sound, maybe cut off bugle, and then I'm like sneaking to the hang up spot that I think is I'm going to sneak. Or I'm trying to maybe like spot and stalk an elk, or I'm still hunting in timber, taking a step, glassing. I know they're bedded in this patch of timber. That's when I'm sneaky. But if any other time, I'm pretty much just normal, loud walking, not concerned about sound.
Yeah.
I'm concerned about smell.
Okay.
And I'm not concerned about diminishing my smell. I'm concerned with my smell not blowing into their nose.
So just wind.
100% win. And it's always inconvenient, Kramer.
Yeah.
Especially on day seven when you're effing tired and that little voice is whispering to you saying, Kramer, you don't need to go that extra quarter mile, 500 vertical feet. The wind's okay here. You'll be all right. Lies. And you will be lazy down. And it'll be so seductive to just go for it. And no, you just do the extra step. Don't bump the yoke. Get the wind proper. Your odds go up.
There we go.
And day seven's tough to do that, man.
Fair enough. Yeah. I get my other question. I think there's two different like instances that I've been in where, say, it's like two bulls together or it's the herd. They like seem like two very different instances to me and how you would approach those two things. What do you do? Like, I know there's a number of factors in there, like how far are you away, you know, when, like we're saying, but
yeah,
it's like, is one more worth the pursuit with the herd? Am I waiting for like some to peel off or like behind or like these sort of things?
Well, we're going to go back to the beginning of the podcast. What is success for you? You define what your goals are and what you'd be happy with. My definition of success and yours might look a lot different.
It's fair.
Okay. So would you be willing to kill any elk, cow, calf, spike, rag, herd bull? Like, do you have...
100%. I'm not biased at this point in my hunting
career.
You
literally want a dead animal in front of you.
Yeah.
Have you ever killed an animal with your bow?
No.
Okay. So, by the way, killing an elk for your first archery kill, kind of tough. I would suggest that you kill some stuff with your bow before elk season. Yeah. I tell guys out at my camps, I'm like... Grab $2,000, go down to Texas, pay a landowner a $500 trespass fee, and kill as many pigs as possible and get in the red zone. And just understand like what it takes to like shoot an animal with a lot of adrenaline that we don't duplicate. It's going to be tricky for your elk to be your first kill, but not impossible. But I'm just, the point of all that is to understand what a successful elk season looks like for you. And everyone's a little different. For me, I still don't get caught up in antler size. Like, I'm not like, I need to kill a 300-inch public land over-the-counter bull. Like, that's not a... Like, I have a couple elk tags. I need to kill a bull.
Yeah.
For sure, and I don't really want to kill a spike. I'll kill... You know, I'm looking to look for a good bull, but I have a lot of time, and I'll have, like, a cutoff date. And if I haven't killed a bull by then I'm going to be way less picky because, damn it, I'm going to eat elk in 2024. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I kind of have my deal. You need to figure out what your deal is.
It's fair.
But herd behavior is going to vary depending on terrain. Like, down in certain desert type areas, man, the bulls are really into... they don't rake a lot. Whereas you get in more thick Wyoming... Northwest Montana, North Idaho, like raking is such a good, it's damn near as good as calling. Like they're so reactive to raking. Whereas some, and bulls rake everywhere, right? Like they have to rub the velvet off. But I've just seen open country bulls not as, raking's not as a big deal as more of like displaying. And displaying can be literally just tilting your head back and walking in a side line towards another bull and be like, this is what's up, you know? Whereas rag bulls, they can be dumb, but they also can be really smart. And cows, you know, they're in heat for 12 hours. Hopefully those 12 hours are during daylight hours. That's magical days that we all live for. And that's the days you want to catch. But a lot of times, you know, open country herds are usually bigger. So what's the average size of herds you've been seeing?
On those, or on the one hunt, it's like, I'm guessing, I'm like 70.
Oh, yeah. See, now you're hunting those open country, bigger herd. So those ones are tricky. Perfect scenario for you on that is if a cow comes into estrus and a herd bull, a lot of times with that many cows, will hook her and take her away from everybody. And then all the satellites come pouring in. They are taking over the herd for the entire day. They are fighting. They are bugling. They literally are living on false hope because the herd bull will be back in a few hours. And that is when magic happens. So keep an eye out for that. That does happen in open terrain. I've seen that happen a lot. or they've had their asses handed to them so much, they're just going to be horned up on the sidelines waiting for the herd bull to be irresponsible and try to come in and hook. And they will usually not step up to the herd bull. They'll kind of be real cautious. But if you get into that scenario and you're closer to him and you just do a couple of calf calls or cow calls because you've been practicing after we talked today, you could call him in like that. And that could be a great encounter. And then also just watching the herd, intercepting or ambushing. And I really want to encourage everyone listening to like really take advantage of the evening thermals. You know, a lot of guys are concerned about getting back to camp at a decent time. And I understand that. But those concerns do go away for me when I have 20 minutes of daylight and I'm in tight with elk. I'm bubbled. I'm going to be like, you know what? You're going to have to walk in the dark anyways. Let's hunt these last 20 minutes of super dependable thermal and let's see if we can get an interception. Let's pick off this herd. Let's get into a spot where we can make a move. Elk like to cross through saddles. Elk like to be nice and tightly grouped when they get up in the, from their evening bedding all day. And then they slowly start spreading out as they get closer to their food source or on their way to their food source. Or maybe they're starting to feed right there from the bedroom and they got a ways to go. They'll start to fan out. And that's when you can make moves. So you asked a vague question. I was just trying to cover as many scenarios as you might.
I understand.
But to recap, solo elk hunting where it's at. Being mentally tough is where it's at. So do hard shit right now between now and then so that you're tough. Get yourself some satellite communication. And we're going to go get you taken care of with your bow today. I'm really excited about that. And I'm just asking you, Kramer, to control everything you can control.
Right, right.
And then leave the rest. Like, you're not going to be able to control other hunters driving illegally on their four-wheelers, messing up your herd like last year, and jumping out. And you're in perfect position, and they screw it all up. It's okay to get mad a little, but you're going to have to respond. And you can't control them. And I would not even waste your time talking to them or yelling at them trying to understand them. Like, there's a bunch of really good hunters out there. You'll find them too. So I wanted to end with Tyler doing a quick consult on your gear.
Okay.
But this is my part where I'm going to, Tyler, don't forget to tell everybody separations and the preparation at the end. You're closing it out. I just want to give you a handshake.
Yeah.
I really appreciate you coming down. I don't know everything. I'm just going off of some stuff I've learned along the way. And guess what? I'm still a student of the game. Yeah, I'm still learning. So cool. Tyler Denham, take it away. Yeah, Matthews Incorporated out of Sparta, Wisconsin. My go-to is a Phase 4 29. That's what I'll be using for the 2023 fall elk season just around the corner. If you're a little bit longer draw, check out the 33. Vortex Optics. Get your optics online and save some loot. EuroOptic.com. Discount code ELK10 takes 10% off. OnX Hunt. Elite membership. All 50 states. Do your e-scouting. Get your 3D. Add your waypoints. Run your tracking. Drop a pin when you drop your bull. Discount code ELKSHAPE takes 20% off. Kufaru International, running the tactical or the duplex light frame with the hoodlum or bedlam. If you see me at a total archery challenge, I'll probably run in the Kufaru hip quiver. Made in the USA, and I stand behind as the best frame on the market. MagView gear, made in America. Lifetime warranty, no phone case, access to all three cameras on your iPhone or Android. Discount code ELKSHAPE, 10% off. They also make attachments for binoculars so that you can do digiscoping proper. Wilderness Athlete, new discount code. We have several elk-shaped stacks. Click the link in the show notes. Discount code elk-shaped 2023. Crispy Boots, probably the new fancy boot of the year, is the Brickstall Mountain GTX. I got a lot of miles with that. It's going to be my starter for the all-around mountain. Very light. Flex rating of a 3 or 4, somewhere in there. Super dependable. All synthetic. Very breathable. And if you're not sure, you can always drop down to Laponia 2s. I stand behind them. Buck Knife, the Alpha Scout, the Alpha Hunter, the Pack Light options, all those are in my kill kit. Check it out. Buck since 1902. Stealth Cam, cellular and non-cellular, 20% off. Use the discount code ELKSHAPE20. Run that camera on 4K. 10% off discount code is ELKSHAPE10. You can get multiple cams or just run one. You can choose several plans and be on your way getting transmissions. The new Deceptor has that on-demand mode, so you can hit a button and get a photo from your camera right on demand. It's pretty sick. Check it out. Marsupial. I'm running the vinyl harness, 10x42s, got the rangefinder pouch and pocket, made out of Arizona. Jim's a good buddy of mine. I think it's the best vinyl harness on the market. New to you guys, but not new to me, Born Primitive. They've been making workout gear in the CrossFit scene and fitness space for a long time. They have a military background. They also hired Aaron Snyder to consult to make their outdoor line, and I've been running it for the last 6 months behind the scenes. I had all the samples. I'm committed. I'm going for it. So I am running Born Primitive. Click the link in the show notes to see what lineups I run, not only on the workout side of things, but also in the field. It's pretty exciting for me to see a big fitness company get into the hunting space, and I want to support them. Baku e-bikes, discount code Elkshape takes $300 off. And of course, if you are buying gear, discount code Elkshape, 10% off at blackovis.com. Back to the podcast.
So the camo question, and there's a lot of debate on what's the best camo, and everybody will say they have the best. Some of the things that I've picked up is that, one, animals can't see red. They don't have red receptors in their eyes. They also, we have a what is called a UV filter in our eye, so we can't see ultraviolet light, right? They can. And the color spectrum that's ultraviolet is in that is blue. So your blue jacket.
The rain jacket.
Is
hard pass.
Hard. It's, unless you're planning on hunting in it, like if you're just using it as like an emergency, I'm going to put it on and sit here, wait for it to stop raining. It's okay. But I would just find a black
one. Find a black one.
Find a black one.
That's probably pretty easy to do.
Yeah. I've hunted in black ones quite a bit. And every company makes a black rain jacket. If you want to go with finding either, if you want to not have a hunting specific one, just find a black one.
Yeah.
If you're trying to save some money, that works. The next thing, so blue is
blue's
bad.
Out.
And then the grays have a lot of blue in them. So I try to avoid,
there's some blue in here, I'd say.
So yes. So usually grays have a little bit of blue in them. Like we don't really pick up on it as much, but animals can. That being said, I've killed a lot of things wearing this camo. So it's
that specific camo?
That specific camo. And Dan used to wear similar. He talked about he's worn this before too. And So the subalpine has a lot more greens in them. Animals can't see green.
So okay.
They don't care
if
you're seeing
like barren brown.
So they see green. They see a lot of green. That's if you look up the Gore, was it some sort of science of vision or whatever it is?
Okay.
The way they figured out what they thought would work best for their camo is they looked at what animals see, and I don't know all the science behind it, but the green. They see in this gray scale. So they see everything we see as green, they see as some sort of a gray color. That's why they have a lot of grays in there. Hmm. It's just when we make a gray color in clothing, there's usually a lot of blue dyes that go into it, or like some blue dyes. And that's kind of what I think you want to avoid. But a lot of camos have some gray in them. I hunt in a lot of solids. I like light gray, or not gray, light tan solid colors, or like OD green, even though they can't see green, they see it as a gray, and if it's similar to the other greens in the area, they're going to see it similarly. But the most important thing with animals, it doesn't matter what camo you wear, it's the movement they pick up on.
Fair enough.
If you are out there and you're not paying attention to what they're looking at, and they're looking at you and you move, especially sideways movements, they're going to pick you off. Your camo's not going to save you. They're going to pick you off, and they're going to stare at you until they run off, basically.
Yeah.
So it's number one, if you don't want a specific camo, I wear all kinds of camos. I mix and match camos all the time. It doesn't matter to me what camo it is. It's more the piece that I'm interested in, the camo cut pattern.
Into that. I like that answer.
So like find pieces you like. I love the Jetstream jacket from Sitka.
Okay.
It's got a...
Just like the jacket itself.
The jacket.
It's made.
I just like the jacket. Yeah. It's in this open camo color. I don't care, but I love the jacket because it's got a windstopper layer in it. Mm. So it's not waterproof. It's a soft shell outer, so it's more quiet than rain jacket. It can handle some rain. And then it's got the windstopper, so it's a thinner fleece material, but and it's lighter, but it stops the wind, and that's what makes you cold. Hmm. Like the wind cutting through your clothing will make you cold faster than anything else.
Yeah.
So I really love that piece, and I probably have it in my, like, I will wear it until it starts smelling so bad that I can't stand it anymore. So that's the camo piece.
That's the camo. Backpack.
The backpack. This is, I believe, a North Face.
That's a North Face backpack. 65 liter.
It's a 65 liter.
Ton of buckles.
So this one has a frame sheet with one stay in the middle, which is fine. You can adjust to your torso length, which is good. These are, if you're on a budget, get something like this. There are some beefier ones out there, but this one will work just fine if you have it for packing.
It's comfortable.
Meat. If it's comfortable for you, that's great. I wore a old Gregory Expedition pack for years. That I used on a lot of my hunts, and I packed a lot of elk out with that. It's an older, similar to this, but older, and it worked just fine. So that you don't have to, if you're on a budget, you don't want to spring for a hunting specific backpack. These work great, and a lot of times you can get the a little bit older and a little more beefy ones on, you know, Marketplace or whatever for cheap because people are going with ultralight ones. Mm-hmm. You don't want to get an ultralight, even though it's like you can get a 65 liter that's like sub 3 pound pack, but they won't pack the weight that you need.
Yeah.
So this will work for your weight. It may not be as comfortable as one that was specifically designed for carrying more weight, mm-hmm. but that'll carry a hind quarter. What you're going to plan on doing is taking 4 trips with an elk once you get one. Four-man trips. That's just what I plan on. Especially with a pack like that, you're not going to be able to put 2 quarters into it and just be like, oh, I'm going to man up and pack it out. It's just going to be 1 quarter at a time. You'll end up taking them and packing them up into 4 game bags. What I normally do is I'll do the 2 hindquarters as 2, they're separate bags. And then with the front quarter, I'll put one back strap, 1 tenderloin in one with 1 shoulder, same with the other one. And then all of the rest of the miscellaneous meat just kind of mix in with those 2 front shoulders. And then you'll end up with about 4 packs that are about the same weight.
That's good. That's a good note.
What else gear wise did you have? This is a great tent. It's 4 pounds. You could get a lighter one if you wanted to, but it'll work just fine.
We have it, yeah.
Yeah. Are you going, if you're going solo, like this is, it says 2-person, but it's pretty tight with, you got to really like the person you're sleeping next to. My wife and I used to use an MSR one that was very similar to this, backpacking, but it's tight and you don't have room for gear inside the tent. You got to put it in the vestibule, which this does have a little bit of a vestibule on either side. And I do like, for this style of tent, I like, having the dual doors so that your buddy can get out his own side.
He's
not crawling over you.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, those are the major.
I will talk to you about your hydration pack. That I've had a lot of issues with hydration packs once I get, whether it's a bite valve that breaks, this tube comes off of the pack or the bladder. Is that a Camelback in there?
I don't think this is Camelback.
The pack isn't a Camelback, but this, okay, it's not a Camelback. That one's not too bad. Some of the Camelbacks were very susceptible to punctures. Like you put in something that's like not even that sharp up next to it. Basically you had to have it in its own sleeve. Otherwise you'd get these tiny little punctures in your bladder and they'd leak and that's no good. So I've gone away from using a hydration bag to using a water bottle, and then I'll use, like Platypus makes a good bag, bladder, or collapsible water bottle. And okay. I'll use those, but I won't use, just because I've had so many troubles with bite valves and everything breaking. Yeah. I've gone away from the hose. If you really like that, you'll drink a lot more water that way. But, one, if you will drink more water that way, you can't tell when you're getting low to like conserve water or when you need to refill it. Cause you're just drinking. You don't really pay attention to it. So then all of a sudden you're like, you're out of water you're like, oh, the nearest water is 2 miles and I have no more water until I get there. And then you're like, okay, now I'm going to stop what I'm hunting and I've got to go get water where you can kind of tell how much water you're drinking by, okay, I drank one Nalgene, fill it back up, drink the nut, and I know how many Nalgenes I have left. Those are the reasons I've gone away from using the hydration bladder itself. It's just kind of pros and cons, what you want, what you don't. Your medical kit.
Oh, yeah, the med kit.
I'll be honest, I don't carry a lot of med stuff because I can improvise with a lot of things that I don't bring specific
stuff. Makes sense with your experience.
Yeah, and so that's a lot of just experience and like what you're comfortable with.
Yeah.
So, but if you're less experienced and you want to carry a little insurance, it's good. I'm not going to tell you not to, for sure. So you got some meds. Do you know what these meds are for?
Isn't there some ibuprofen in here? Oh, no, this is antibiotic ointment. Oh, yeah, some ibuprofen, aspirin.
You got gloves, which is good if you're working on somebody else. If you get a cut, I doubt you're going to put gloves on to work on yourself.
What's that, tweezers?
Those packable tweezers, they're really not worth packing, in my opinion.
I just, the Leatherman would cut.
Leatherman
would do the job.
Would be better off. And, like, it looks cool. They just don't work very good.
They just put it in there. So
they put it in there. So they're like, oh yeah, we've got however many pieces of in here. We threw in this cheesy pair of tweezers that aren't going to work anyway.
Watch, I'll end up using them.
You might. I like I said, I don't carry much. I do carry a Leatherman all the time. Ace wrap. It's up to you. I carry Leukotape instead of this, and I have a lot of this stuff as different items in my pack. Like I don't
more of some, less of some.
Well, I don't have like a dedicated med kit. I have a roll of Leukotape that's in my pack. I have things that I can use as bandages if I need to. I've got things I can use to make a tourniquet if I need to. I only carry drugs that I'm for sure going to use. I don't, if you break a bone, ibuprofen's not going to help you a whole lot. If you're carrying aspirin, you should probably just carry the baby aspirin because most people don't take aspirin for a headache anymore. What you should carry, especially if your dad's going with you, is baby aspirin. If, God forbid, you start having chest pains for whatever reason, 4 baby aspirin is what you would take right away and could help you.
Are you just talking like for the dosage? Is that what you're getting at?
Yes. But it also, so baby aspirin are chewable, right?
Okay.
And so it gets into your bloodstream faster.
I got you.
And so if you do have like, if you are getting a little bit of a chest pain or whatever, and you may have a little bit of a blockage in your heart, those 4 baby aspirin thin out your blood a little bit. It helps to get around any obstructions in your cardiac and could prolong the time you have to get help. So that would be something. Obviously you can get it over the counter. Something would be better than a big aspirin. However, if you have adult aspirin, which this is probably 324, 325, you could take one aspirin as well. It just takes a lot longer to get into your bloodstream because you swallow it as a pill. Your digestive system has to dissolve it and get it into your system, where the baby aspirin, you chew it up, it helps dissolve it faster. It's already dissolving while you're chewing it up, and then it gets into your bloodstream faster.
Yeah,
so it's a little better. If you're somebody who has ibuprofen like for aches and pains all the time, and you take them on a regular basis, and you're somebody who takes them while you're hunting, then take the bottle, take whatever you whatever you're gonna use, take that. I just don't carry ibuprofen. This is, do you know what this is?
Diafen? Is that for like
So it's diphenhydramine is the
full name.
This is Benadryl.
Benadryl.
So if you don't know what it is and you have it in your pack, but you don't know why you're gonna take it, then you probably shouldn't have it in your pack, right? So know what you're carrying.
It doesn't say.
I don't know what these really say. It says if pregnant or breastfeeding, ask your health professional.
We'll have time to do that.
Yeah. So you're gonna get on the phone and be like, hey, should I take this?
For the guy who's not you. I feel like sometimes these come with like a diagram of everything on like what everything is.
Some of them do, but basically you want to know if you're going to carry it, you want to know how to use it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So know that before you need it. And if you aren't going to take the time to figure out what it's used for, just leave it at home because you're not going to use
it. That's fair.
But that's Benadryl. If you want to keep it in your system, it is good. If you do have an allergic reaction to something, you can take that and it'll help. If you have hay fever, you're probably going to have some sort of antihistamine anyway. The duct tape I put on either on my water bottle or on a trekkie pole, so it's easily accessible for hot spots,
cover
whatever.
The blue on the old poles there?
Yeah, I wouldn't worry too much about that blue. But,
strategy, man.
Yeah, and I would get Leuco tape instead of this tape. The Leuco tape will stick a lot better.
Okay.
And for blisters,
moleskin,
it works once you have a blister, but it's best to treat your hot spots before you get a blister. So if you start feeling, oh, this is a hot spot, stop, take care of it, put some Leuco tape or duct tape on your hot spot, should take care of it. If you do end up getting a blister and you're going to treat it with moleskin, you're going to want to cut a hole out of the middle of the moleskin that's the size of the blister. Cover the blister with it's going to go around the blister, the moleskin is, and then you're going to want to cover it with some sort of tape.
Got it.
And then that'll help. That'll be the best thing you can do for a blister. So that's all good.
Knowledge that I need.
Any other questions?
I don't think so. I guess my only last thing would be like snake bites, rattlesnake.
First thing, don't get bit by a snake.
Yeah.
You're going to obviously need to get the antivenom, which they only have at the hospital. Cutting yourself is, don't do that. Like you've seen it, everybody's seen in the Western movies where you cut the X or whatever, you suck the venom out. Don't do that. You want to keep your heart rate low. So that's where the InReach comes in. That's an appropriate time to hit the I need help button. You can start getting out, but slow. You don't want that venom to go systemic. Right. You want it to kind of stay in that area. You don't want to put a tourniquet on to stop blood flow. You just want to keep, not move that extremity as much as you can.
Yeah.
Get help as fast as you can. And bottom line is you have to get to a place where they have antivenom.
I think with all that to say.
As soon as possible.
Calms, maybe have Life Flight.
Life Flight, yes. A Life Flight membership is well worth the money.
Pretty cheap membership.
It is.
Last time I checked.
It is. It's stupid cheap to not. if you're somebody who's out in the backcountry, it's stupid cheap not to have.
Yeah. Fair enough. Cool.
All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks for
driving
over. And separations in the preparation. So I'm not as good as doing that as you are.
That's it.
That'll work.
Thanks, guys, for tuning in. Thank you, Tyler, for coming in and doing a consult. He is a wealth of knowledge. Obviously, he's a fireman, a captain, a paramedic, almost 20 years in the game. He's seen a lot of things, and he's very knowledgeable on gear. That's why he helps us out on the Elk Shape YouTube channel that's called Elk Shape Gear. If you haven't been to that channel, it's not fancy, but it's nothing but gear reviews, nonstop, testing, vetting gear. Check that out. He runs that Instagram page as well as that YouTube. I help out as much as I can. Also, make sure you're subscribed to our normal YouTube channel. We're on the road to 100K and we're getting there, and we thank you for the help. Want to give a shout out Matthews. We got the phase 4 all dialed in, the 29 Onyx. Like Kramer was trying to get away with just a free week. That's not gonna, dude, you need to live and die by Onyx year round for your scouting, as well as in the field, know where you stand, elite membership, all 50 states, discount code Elkshape takes 20% off. Wilderness Athletes discount code is Elkshape2023, and that'll get you 20% off all your trail packs, your Hydrate Recover, your Energy and Focus, your Altitude Advantage, your pack out bars and bites. Get loaded up for the season. It's around the corner. Buck Knives, check out their Pack Light series. That's what I'm running in my pack for my kill kit. And for the Crispies, I think the boot of the year is the Brickstall Mountain GTX. Look that one up. All synthetic, very light, good flex rating. I think you guys are going to dig that. Speaking of trail cam season, I'm headed out right now. Like literally, as you're listening to this, I am scouting for elk. It's my only scouting trip. And what I'm doing is I'm learning the road systems. I'm learning where to camp, where not to camp. I'm scratching country off. I'm finding the terrain that works best for my style. And I'm hanging out stealth cams. I got a bunch of sales and non-sales. I got discount codes for those. So non-sales, discount code ELKSHAPE20 will take 20% off. Get the 4K and get the cameras on lithium batteries with a big memory card and let that things soak on video mode. Trust me. The other one is the cellular. I would recommend probably the new Deceptor that just popped out. Discount code ELKSHAPE10 will take 10% off. Born Primitive discount code ELKSHAPE. Speaking of non-camouflage clothing and awesome workout gear, discount code ELKSHAPE takes 10% off. Link in the show notes, and always 10% off anything at blackovis.com. Free shipping. Discount code ELKSHAPE. Appreciate y'all. We got a couple more really good podcasts coming up this month to help you get ready for elk season. You got a lot of options when it comes to podcasts. Thanks for choosing us. Separations in the preparation. We'll catch you on the next one.